Twitching my bitches like sheets. Praying that God that I eat. Walking to be like some feet. Yeah, yeah, I ain't tryna die young. Young nigga hanging the streets. Twitching my bitches like sheets. Praying that God that I eat. Walking to be like some feet. Yeah, yeah. My old niggas are some grow getters. I'm a young nigga, but I roll with them. If you told nigga, we don't roll with you. So don't fold nigga, you a gold digger. I ain't tryna die young. Ain't tryna die young. Switching my bitches like sheets, praying that God that I eat, walking to be like some feet. Yeah, yeah, I ain't tryna die young, young nigga hanging the streets. Switching my bitches like sheets, praying that God that I eat, walking to be like some feet. Yeah, yeah, I'm a young nigga, gotta get it. I'm a young nigga, gotta get it. If you poppin' shit, I'ma finish it. I'm a young nigga, I'ma win it. And the ops on the block, so you know I'm gon' spin it. And the ops on the block, so you know I'm gon' spin it. I just be getting it back, I'm gonna turn the talk. Balenciagas when I walk, get it for your ass, nigga be on. Extra mile if it costs, be in the bag. I don't got no time to talk. Balenciagas when I walk. Get off your ass, nigga, be on boss. Extra mile if it costs, I ain't tryna die young. Young nigga hanging the streets. Switching my bitches like sheets. Praying to God that I eat. Walking to be like some feet. Yeah, yeah, I ain't tryna die young. Young nigga hanging the streets. Switching my bitches like sheets. Praying to God that I eat. Walking to be like some feet. Yeah, yeah.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Iron Perspective Radio, episode 4. I'm your co-host, Jorel Whitfield.
And I am Nessie Alam, and we are excited to be here today.
Who are we?
We are Iron Perspective Radio. Yes, okay.
We are Iron Perspective Radio.
You wanna? Mm-hmm. Okay, so... You know, so far, these past 4 episodes, we have not really taken the opportunity to discuss exactly what it is that we do. We've been doing I Am Perspective now for the past 2 years, and it has been off the radio. There have been in-person events, face-to-face, genuine human connection, and at this point, we've held over 40 different events around a variety of different topics, bringing people of all different backgrounds into a room to have conversations, right? What we're looking to do is really build empathy through understanding and perspective. We believe that when you actually place people together and face-to-face, there's a different level of understanding and a bond that's formed than when you're behind a computer screen just having a conversation and you're able to say whatever it is that you want to say without any
no shots to people behind computers. If you're behind a computer screen right now, please stay tuned. This is for you as well. But you know what Nessie's talking about. Mm-hmm. We've gotten lost in comments and personas, and I think we're all aware of it on some level. And there have been many questions of what do we do about it. And Nessie and I, a few years ago, said let's at least start talking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we come from different worlds. Clearly, she comes from the world of the short.
Short people. I'm the shortest person in this room right now. Always. One day.
No, I do that because that's going to be the new thing to not say. I'm going to get...
What, short people?
Yeah, man, I'm going to get slandered for that.
Oh, bro. Yeah.
It'll be a rack of...
Twitter is real.
Five folks outside.
That's what we
five,
need to...
Five.
Small talls?
No, you're tall. I'm just taller.
Taller. Yes.
Right. Everyone gets a sticker.
Everyone
gets to go. I'm
the less tall.
Right.
No, but we're from different worlds. We have different cultures. We're both from Queens. And even with us being friends for over 20 years, we were like, there's a lot of conversation for us to have. Mm-hmm. And we started with ourselves and quickly said, hey, how do we do this with more people? Because we did understand that it's more than just like, oh, let me hear you out. It's like, no, really sit with me and be with where I, you know, my perspective on life, on how I experienced this, where my folks are from, why we do this, you know. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of people, you know, it takes a lot from people to do that. You know?
Yeah.
So we started that, we want to say from the basement, from the garage, from, so that goes for everybody as well. If you're feeling this and y'all talking amongst 2-3 people and you got your groups on Facebook or whatever, mobilize it and start linking with folks. Yeah.
So speaking of friendship, and being friends and being from two different backgrounds, we actually have some very special guests with us here today. And I'll let you guys introduce yourselves in a second, a little bit about what you do. But this is a pair of friends that I had the privilege of seeing form in front of my eyes. And, you know, I think one of the things that's amazing about Jarrell and I, and a lot of people are sometimes confused even about why we're always together. They're like, you guys are friends? Like, you guys, yeah, like, we actually like to spend time with each other.
Like, y'all like real friends?
Like, real? Like, okay.
I found her on an app. This is my app friend.
Yes. So that's really the conversation we're going to be talking about today. The episode, the name of the title of this episode is Despite the Differences, right? What happens when you put two people together, regardless of their backgrounds? What's really important in a friendship? And we're going to get to that in a second, but let me introduce St. Louis Alexandra and John Yates. And either one of you guys can go first and just give us a little background of who you are and what you do.
Age before beauty.
So hello everyone, my name is John Yates. I am a, this is always awkward talking about yourself.
It is.
Like, which one are you going to lead with?
How vain can we make this stuff? No, I guess I'm a first generation Afro-Latino, queer Afro-Latino male. Cuban mom, Dominican American dad, raised by Cuban refugees, quote unquote made it out the hood, and is now back and kind of committed to giving back to my communities and uplifting and mobilizing people who are often at the margins.
And what hood is that?
Harlem.
Since we were all in here having a real authentic New York conversation before we went on live. All right, excellent.
St. Louis Alexander, also from Harlem. Again, I've heterosexual male, race human, because I don't, you can't put me in the box, because I'm a mutt. German, Spanish from my father's side, West Indian, Jamaican from my mom's side. So, I was raised with, you know, the 80s. So that's drug dealers and all that other wild shit, but I didn't go that route, so I just took what I seen and be a gumbo of me.
Yeah, excellent.
The T-shirt.
Good. I mean, we do come up with a lot of ideas on the show.
Write them down, yo.
Right. No, seriously. Merch. Whenever we're having these, like, wait, more ideas, we don't know how to stop. So, if you guys don't mind sharing, without having to get into too many details about how you guys first met each other,
right,
and decided you guys were going to be friends. Like, this is a friendship that you wanted to pursue.
Because this is the crux of why we are honored to have you on, up here. Nussie told me the story of how you met, and she's always listening. She's got the perspective ear now. Now that we do this work, it's like, wow, this is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's like hidden sometimes, but now we bring it to light. Like, the story of how you guys met and how you became friends, as we were saying earlier, has so many layers to how we interact as people. So,
We met at a training course. You say it or no?
I'll say it.
Called Momentum Education. Day one, we walking home after the event is over, and he's walking the same way I'm walking. So I'm like, "What's up?" We just started, and I just walked up to him and kicked it with him. His thought, which is funny, how we became friends is, "Oh my God, what did he want?"
I had my headphones on. It was a long day. I was just like beelining into the train. He's just like, "What's up?" And I'm like,
"Damn, I gotta talk now."
Go on.
So after that, the course was 4 days. I couldn't afford the next level of the course because I wasn't working at the time, and I just broke down, vulnerable in front of everybody. And he walked up to me and he was like, "Excuse me, I got you. Out the paperwork." I looked at him, I'm like, "Nah, I'm good," because I'm not used to support, wasn't used to support. And thick as thieves and then.
Wow. Had that kind of generosity happened to you before, like on a random level?
Nah, not from like a complete stranger. No. I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Without, you know, something in return somewhere? Nah.
And you guys didn't know each other at all?
At all, mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think that alone, we could have ended the show right there. Like, all right, y'all, I'm telling y'all, shit is still good. There's good people. Because there's so many people that don't even think that that level of empathy exists. So that's incredible. Mm-hmm. That's dope. What?
So, you
want to
add a little bit?
Yeah, and so where that kind of came from, because I've had the question, like, why? And St. Louis was such a important part of that whole weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And like the experience of that workshop we were taking, and it was remembering like how many opportunities I missed out on, like growing up, because I didn't have it, and remembering like he had said, I'm tired of not being able to have, and I remember that being in that place, like wanting so much to go on study abroad trips with my friends, and like wear Jordans. I don't think they, like, I had the money, like, oh yeah, it's just like I was committed to this awesome person who I had the pleasure of like witnessing and experiencing and seeing how important he is to the people in the room. Mm-hmm. That I'm just like, I don't got it, but I got it enough to figure out how we're gonna pay it off, like on the back end.
Yeah.
But you get to go, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, it was just like, and not expecting a friendship, not expecting debt.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept texting back. And we were just like, yo, like, when are we chilling? What's up? Like, we went on throughout the program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been, I never could have asked for it or even think to ask for, like, this friendship.
Hell yeah, man. Thank you. Well, thank you, first of all, on behalf of the world. Thank you for being kind like that, and thank you for receiving. I know we don't often talk about that. There's people that will try to give, and you could have been arrogant and egotistical, but like you said, you left with the word vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a dual situation for that, you know.
Yeah. So I'm just going to ask a very simple question, right? Because we are talking about friendship, and we have two pairs of friends here. What is friendship, right? And with that, I'll add, what does one have to know or understand to be friends with you?
I went first last time.
You ran.
So taking turns sometimes,
yep.
If you got it this time. Because I know we
turns.
Do that.
Definitely taking turns.
Definitely have to do
that. I know loyalty is an incredible like standard for me in friendship. I know that personally, and it's tough, because, right, like, 0-100 method, like, et cetera. But I am a loyal person, and so when we could go through the ebbs and flows, but if there is that kind of security and trust,
mm-hmm.
and respect, I think we could weather anything. So I think that's a crucial part of, don't fuck with me, St. Louis. That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha. For me, it's being authentic,
mm-hmm.
and accepting everything, good, bad, and indifferent. That's what makes you a ally, a good friend, or whatever. It's judgment, but on a loving level, because everybody judges.
Right.
First impression. That's
right,
a judgment.
Right. I'm
yeah.
glad
so,
you said that, because that's really what we wanted to talk about, you know. Of course, beyond just the, like, oh, man, that's excellent, he looked out for you, and then I'm open, but what do judgments look like? You know, what did your judgment look like even before he approached you like that? Did you prejudge him to say, like, that's not a person that would help me? Did you have a prejudgment and vice versa? You know, was there a hesitation outside of your good-hearted naturedness?
No, I mean, no hesitation, but there was definitely, like, so this... This is going to explain you perfectly. His whole outfit matched. Like, first day, if I remember correctly, was an all-white outfit. Everything, like, I think that he purchased that outfit at one point, right? In all-in-one trip. And I remember growing up as a kid, like, I wanted to be that person. Like, I wanted to be able to, this is back in the 90s. For those who don't remember those days.
He's not even that old.
But let me rock.
What were we?
But when we would go into Foot Locker and you could get the full velour suit,
yeah.
with a matching pair of sneakers. For me, I was always like a size 14, 13, so it was like whatever size, whatever shoes you had in that size, thanks. And so it was definitely reminiscent of like it was triggering is what was the correct term, because I remember growing up wanting to fit that persona and not having the masculinity nor like the finances to do it.
Right.
And so right off the bat, I, because of like my background growing up gay in the hood and growing up rather feminine in the hood, I wasn't off put by I was off put by you. Mm-hmm. Charming. He was incredibly charming, not imposing, but just the way he showed up into the room, the way he looks, the way he dressed was very reminiscent of just like guys who would often make fun of me because I wasn't like straight enough or fresh enough, etc.
Right.
Judgment of John, never. Never. I don't judge nobody. I trust everyone. That's my initial. Like, I trust you. I have no reason not to trust you. Yeah. Do you trust you? It's the question. Mm. So, me and John, it was just, what's up? Mm. Who are you? That's basically like little kids in the park. Can I play with you?
Right.
What's
right.
up? All right, let's do it. That's my whole theory. I'm a big kid at heart. So, it was like, all right.
There was, you know, people want to challenge that, but there were some kids that just wanted to play with everybody. Like, all right. Until, you know, you breach a certain...
But, like, I don't care what he does personally in that department. I love him for the person he is.
Right.
Like, he's bigger than me, and he's my brother.
So let me ask you a question, right? It is very commendable that you're so open and you can recognize that it doesn't really matter. I mean, I believe that too, right?
Right.
But... you have probably grown up in a neighborhood where maybe some of your friends, some other people in the neighborhood have felt differently.
Right.
What would you say is different about you that you're able to be so open and non-judgmental? And speaking back to that judgmental piece, right, we believe that everyone has biases, unconscious biases,
right?
Whatever that is, it could be based on, you know, someone's race, gender, religion, or it could just be based on looks, right? Like, that person's tall, that person's short. It could really be anything. So what do you think is different about you and your upbringing that makes you so open?
So growing up, I was a little ostracized myself because I wasn't the typical. And, you know, boys, they wear blacks, and I'm colorful. I wear colors. I love. I like colors. I'm wearing that. So when, like, black peacoats came out, I got a custom-made white one. I don't want to look like y'all.
Yeah.
We all cool. I play ball. I play all kinds of sports, but nah, I'm not trying to look like y'all. When North Faces were popping, they got blacks, they got blues. Nah, give me the champagne and black one. Give me the purple and black one.
The champagne.
Like, I've always separated myself and stood by myself and was cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's nothing for me. I don't care about other people's opinion. What you think of me holds no weight.
So, because you were comfortable being different,
mm-hmm.
you're like, okay.
Yeah. I was the cool kid in school that could chill everybody. I could go to the nerd table. Mm-hmm. I could go to the dance table. I love to dance. I could go, I'm an athlete, so I'm just the person that I'm cool with everybody.
Yeah, I feel like I was that way as well. I was cool with everybody. And I think I judged, too, you know. I think I had to consciously stop judging at some point in my life. But I definitely, when I think about prejudice and prejudgments, even if it wasn't the most terrible thing, I still might say with white people, like, I ain't scared to say it. I see white people and be like, ugh. And be it however you want to call it, that's from a certain history that I know. And I'm like, I'm not the only, that's what Nussie, I believe, and I are talking about. Like, we know we're not the only ones who have, that's a point of perspective. You come from a very unique place. We all from the same city, right? Different corners of this city. Unique sliver of a of this joint that gives you a different outlook, you know? What does that look like when we start peeling that back for ourselves, you know? How does that look now in your household, in your workspace? Because you're leading, in your business, know, we've already got clients lined up for their entrepreneur business because they want to have better ways to connect with their clients and things like that. They're like, why am I not being able to get to this demographic and so forth? So
that's easy.
That's easy.
Right. All you gotta do is make it relatable. That's why like teachers and students don't really get along. Mm-hmm. But when a younger teacher comes in and grabs a student, it's relatable. Mm-hmm. They look like each other. They can relate. It's, mm-hmm. If you want to have a successful business, be relatable to what you're trying to sell.
Yeah.
Don't just have a great idea, throw it out there, and want people to buy it.
Yeah.
It's authentic.
So John, what have you taken away from this friendship? Being able to be in a friendship with a heterosexual man that is all those things that maybe you had kind of wish you had access to when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
What does this, what possibilities does this open up for you?
Where do I start with that question?
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. So
we try to ask good ones.
Well,
got people watching and everything, you know.
Yeah, no, it's so what I learned a larger lesson outside of the context of
mm-hmm.
of my relationship with St. Louis. Like I was able in meeting St. Louis and becoming like friends with St. Louis. One, it really changed the composition of my friendship group because most of my other close friends
mm-hmm.
are all like queer identifying folks.
Right.
It also gave me the opportunity to reflect on like my historical relationship with men. Historically, if I go into a room, I gravitate towards women because I feel safer
mm-hmm.
with that demographic, and it literally comes from like a place of safety.
Yeah.
So kind of coming to grips with that history and that reality, and then also choose the place of possibility, right? And
mm-hmm.
kind of be conscious and like walk into the room and give folks like a chance to like step in, right? And step in and show up how they want to show up. And open myself to like, look at what happened. Imagine like in the realm of possibilities, how many more, no one like you, you're my number one single, but how many more like friendships and connections I could be making with folks.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. To be able to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
To have that awareness, like I can actually be comfortable around a group of people that I was not. Right,
yeah, I remember, I'll speak again candidly for myself, growing up in 80s New York, it felt like, just as it felt like an anti-black culture, it
mm-hmm.
felt like definitely very much an anti-gay culture. And you think about now where I've met all kinds of people
mm-hmm.
and there are different understandings of what friendship looks like, relationships look like. I'm like, damn, think about how many connections were missed.
Right.
You know, just like you said, if you open your up and the other person opens up, now you have a new friendship. I think about how many of those are being missed right now, you know.
Right.
The reason why, again, we do this, you know, we thank you very much for being on. We're not kicking you off.
Thank you for having us.
No, we're definitely not kicking you off.
Are you?
Huh? Do you guys need a break?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. You guys?
Okay.
So, actually, what's coming up for me when you guys are talking about this is that being a Bengali woman, and being in a lot of spaces where it's not necessarily Bengali people, it's other black and brown people, I'm kind of like St. Louis, where I talk to everybody, I don't really care, I don't have any, that's just how I grew up. But I can also feel when someone's looking at me a way, they're like, is she going to talk to me? Does she want to talk to me? Or is she like going to judge me, right? Because I noticed it, like even in, without giving things away, but Fortnite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people looking like, she about to hug me or she not?
Right,
you know, right? Like,
you guys just went into cult talk, right?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Right?
What the secret society?
No, I know what it is.
So, like, even that, right? Like, I see it, I walk into spaces, and, like, I think even, I don't know about you, Prof, I'm going to add you in here a little bit real quick, but, like, the first time I came here on radio, I was on a different show, and I'm pretty sure, like, when I walked in, Sam, my girl Sam Turcavelli, she's all there, like, they're explaining, like, where are you from? What are you doing? Like, and, you know, like, there's a lot of questions that were asked of me, and I remember coming back and speaking to them, like, yeah, I'm like, I'm always going to have to deal with this. Like, this is always, I'm going to have to explain, I'm okay, I'm cool.
Uncommonly cool.
I'm commonly cool.
Shout out to my boys and
your
show. That's dope.
Hey man, we're super different. Last week we had an amazing show. We had the Desi perspective, and Nussie is Desi, and we were having a conversation of like, I'm pretty sure the majority of people I don't know what that is.
I was about to say, what's that?
Yeah,
right. I was just like, wait, he's gonna explain it any second now.
So, see, now we're
it really quick. So Desi are people who come from the South Indian region. So Bangladesh, India, and Pakistan for the most part.
Okay,
so that's like the, it's like calling us whatever the general term, right? But there's obviously a lot of differences. But this was like a term that Jarrell did not know when we first became friends.
We're going to talk about how I know it off air, but like it was in the most craziest way where I found.
No, just say it.
I didn't know about this word until I stumbled upon it on some porn. And I was like, Daisy, what's
porn
this? Yeah, it can, right? We're going to certainly have a porn perspective. There's a lot of people.
Bring me back.
We can talk a little bit about it today.
So I'm on there. You know, there's like 1,000 categories on porn, you know, to whatever you like. And Prophet's like, holy shit, this is what we're going.
Quick left.
Okay.
That's why y'all gotta tune in, man.
Huh?
And it was Desi, and I really truly didn't know what it was. I thought it might have been some animation or something. And I opened it up, and it was like a bunch of Indian people. And I was like, what? This is peculiar. Is this a special niche of it? And then I searched it, and I realized it was like a whole people. I thought it was a sex thing,
right.
You know? So even on that mindset of like, damn, how many people are learning this whole culture, fucking beating off or something? Like that, or with any other culture, or like how you marginalize things from the things that you know.
So what that brings us to is unconscious bias, right?
I see how that connects.
Because we're not gonna like super joke over because I want to talk about, but it's the same thing about any culture of how we could then fetishize.
Right.
You know, there's always been a thing about Asians, brown and yellow, of Western culture fetishizing.
Mm-hmm.
And where does that come from if it doesn't come from this number one industry that we can't talk about?
Right.
You know, so that it does tie in as far as that's me saving myself.
Yep, good job.
Huh?
He did that.
So, unconscious bias, right? I think a lot of us, so we are actually currently working on releasing an unconscious bias awareness workshop. And this is really for everyone. I think everyone has something, whatever it is, built up in their head, right? About, like I said, whether it's background, profession, whatever it is that they're doing. I know I have my own. What is something, and this is just a regular iron perspective, right? What is something besides your own friendship between you two that you guys can recognize in yourself while dealing with other people? Like, that might make you think, so like I had mentioned earlier, like, you know, sometimes people look at me, and I guess because I am kind of like, we were kind of having this conversation in the car, right?
Gotcha.
About what was your first, I guess you guys can answer that, right? What was your first experience of me versus what it is now? Like, how has that changed based on getting to know me?
Me or you?
You.
Alright. So, let me ask a question about you first.
Yeah, okay. Or general, whatever.
Meeting you at first was like, where we met at is so diverse, so it was, again, being open, but then finding out what you're into and what you do was like, she's fucking dope. I could curse. She's dope. Like, you know, all the things you're into, I'm like, nah, she's dope. Then, like, really connecting and talking with you, I'm like, oh, nah, she's on another level, another tier of dope.
But what was that first impression?
The first impression
maybe
is
you
like,
get
you know,
in there.
Stewardess,
right,
Chrissy.
See?
That's
stoic,
more what it is. It's like after, because it's so close to you seeing her as dope, but right before dope, it's like, is this so stuck up? You know, she gonna have a British accent though. You know,
right.
And that's what we're talking about. There's a small part right there.
No, Sam. I
finished.
No, yeah, it's stoic, kind of. I feel like standoffish is not true. Like, I feel like I could approach her. Mm-hmm. I could approach you, but I would think twice. I would be like, and albeit we're sitting down, folks, but I'm probably three times her size. And so it's very interesting dynamic to be like, all right, I'm gonna go fill up my water. Sorry.
Like, what are we gonna talk about? Because me personally, I don't have friends of your background or nature. So it's like, I guess I learned her along the way. And like I said, once figuring out who you are and what you're about, I was like, oh, no, she's ill.
I guess an interesting kind of analysis that I experienced, and I'm going to throw a plot twist now, but like, kind of when folks, so I try to be open about my status as being HIV positive. Mm-hmm. I try to, like, it's a lot of my advocacy, a lot of my organizing work. And when I disclose my status with some folks, people are like, I would have never known. And I'm just like, no, of course you would. Like,
right.
But it's I'm curious, is like, is it, what is the expectation of someone who is HIV positive, like, look like to you? Mm. It's a curious question in my head when folks respond that way. But I guess it's also part of, like, the importance of saying, like, yeah. And so imagine how many other people standing in this room are also, like, HIV positive.
Right. And what have we gotten our general depiction of HIV positive as a whole?
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you don't know someone personally, if you don't have someone who's affected or lost someone by it, what does it look like from outside? This is, you know, not to get off of that, but this is something that happened across every time we do an event. This kind of thing comes up. When we did the Crime and Punishment, we had a thing like that. We had somebody talk to someone whose family member was locked up and had a completely different understanding of the prison system, right?
Right.
For years, they had looked at it this way, talked to somebody, 8 minutes later had a different look. So without that personal perspective, or that personal, because talking to you is a perspective, you know?
Right.
And if you lead, you don't lead with it, but you're open about what your status is, and that immediately puts you in a place of like, damn, you're not what I thought it looked like.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you gotta question yourself. I don't think we question ourselves enough of, like, why do I think that you should look some other way? Where did that come from?
Exactly.
Especially if I never met somebody who's HIV positive.
Right.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, right? Like, I think even now, for anyone that's listening or watching in, right, that may have just in this one simple question and conversation, right, people could have had all sorts of stereotypes, judgments, whatever in their minds, and listening to you now, like, here you are, this, like, healthy person, you're living your life, you're joyous, you're doing all this stuff, right? And when people get to see you, they're like, oh my god, he's so cool, right? And some people don't have that in their lives,
right,
to be like, oh yeah, that's actually a thing. Same thing with me, right? Like, I realize as I understand that about myself, like, as I'm navigating certain spaces, that I'm always gonna be facing those situations. Because there's always going to be, I'm always going to be new to somebody, right? Because I'm clear that I'm not, like, a majority in this country, or I don't have, like, you know, so even in minority groups, I'm still a minority, so.
Those are conversations to have, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying the levels of minorities you were just talking about.
Oh.
Because if you were to, man, you said you're a mutt. A mutt in itself is the minority of minority within minorities.
Can't put him in a box.
Yeah, but you couldn't put him in a box, right?
We're going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow, by the way.
Say more.
While we're on that, we actually, you know, like we said, I Am Perspective did not start out on the radio. We started out with face-to-face conversations, putting people in a room together of different backgrounds. And so we have a few events this week as well. Tomorrow, Wednesday, January 29th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m., we will be at Civic Hall, doing the Identity and Belonging Perspective, which is a panel event, and we have some very special panelists on in the room with us. We're going to be dealing with all sorts of topics, from what it's like to be mixed, what it's like to come from the foster system, right? What it's like to be in a profession that someone would not expect for you to be in. So we're going to be covering a whole lot of topics. This is our first in-person event of the year, and it's really going to be an opportunity to We're going to be discussing a lot of important things and what we're up to for the year. So definitely out to that.
I'm excited because this is our first event of the year. This is year number 3 of us doing these events. We've done most of these. Thank you very much. We've done most of these events for free, for the love, for the community. It is grown to, you come out tomorrow, you'll see what size it's grown to. The panelists that we have, I'm so excited. Like, these are like game-changing people that are like, yeah, we're going to sit on your panel. And I really love our panels as well because we always fit Iron Perspective in. We always fit conversation in. Mm-hmm. I know I sit on panels a lot and they'll be good, but I want to say something. And I'm like, ooh, I want to talk. So we definitely give space for that. We kind of bring everybody on one level.
Yes, everyone who comes to any of our events, their perspective matters. And so we always throw it back to the audience.
But the panelists matter just a little bit more to me. You'll see when you hear from them. And it's not going to be just people talking about their life. And we'll get some of that. But we're really trying to get to like the meat of some things. Like, what is it really like to be you while you do that? While you run a corporation? While you're a pastor? While you're a lawyer? What is it like to... So I'm excited about it.
And on Thursday, so, you know, perspective can look many different ways. First of all, it doesn't always have to be that serious. I think people mistake that. Like, we're just trying to always, like, you know. We're doing the hip-hop karaoke perspective on Thursday with Lit Karaoke.
Yeah.
And that's going to be at Drip BK in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn!
And we'll be going
I'm excited
over
about that.
The
I'm
history.
Not from Brooklyn at all, but I like it.
I just want to say it.
I like it. I front sometimes when I'm out
of
state.
It's part of hip-hop culture,
and people
though.
Like, it's Brooklyn in the house. I'm like, nah, I never. I'm from Queens, man. That's real. I never.
From Queens. And so we're gonna be having discussion, which is gonna be followed by karaoke afterwards as well. There is a $20 cover charge for that. So if you are interested, you can purchase your tickets. If you are not following us on social media yet, please do. We're on Instagram at i.amperspective, at iap.radio, and we're also on Facebook. I Am Perspective and I Am Perspective Radio.
Yes, definitely. We got 10. So, we're going to give you this time to plug yourself, let the world know what you're doing. I'm excited that you guys were here to have this conversation very quickly. We like, damn, we could have had another hour of this. Because we definitely have more to talk about.
We'll come back.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for being up. But let the world know what you're up to, where to find you.
Awesome. So stay tuned. I started last year, towards the end of the year, a voter registration campaign called I Matter, Tengo Poder, and that's to mobilize black and brown folks to show up at the polls, be registered to vote, and civically engage, because they've been trying to keep us from the polls, as we now more than ever have to show up. So follow us at Matter, MATTER, Poder, PODER, and looking forward to it. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Currently, I have a water company called Ounce Water. You can find us on social media platforms called Get Ounce. It's changing the perspective or the narrative of what they used to sell us and making it for us now. So it's a 40-ounce shaped bottle.
Yes.
But, you know, we've got rid of the toxins and put, you know, grade A quality water in there, spring and alkaline.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you. I saw some of the pics earlier. It looked like an event that I got left out of. Nussie comes back. She's like, oh my God, I'm the craziest. Send me all the videos. I was like, man, this is really cool. This is really cool. I do want to touch on the water part because I'm learning more and more, like we all know it. You know, what pushed you into like highlighting that aspect? Because I know you, I just know your energy anyway. You like a go, you gonna go get it anyway. What led you in that direction?
So actually it's my older brother, Theo Rossi. It was his idea. He's a celebrity actor. You may have seen him on Sons of Anarchy or Luke Cage. It was his idea and I just assisted him with it. So he takes it on a Hollywood level, getting it out there, and I do the street ground level.
That's
what
I'm at. That's
what's up. It was so cool. I was in the supermarket on 110th between Lexington and 3rd. And I'm like, with my shopping cart? Just got my Pound the Boar's Head, you know, and chilling. And then I saw the whole stand with the, like, Brando stuff on it.
Yeah, his store's uptown.
It was so cool.
Yeah, that's right. So if you uptown.
I didn't finish that bottle of water. I was like, I gotta save this.
Yeah, we're going to pull up on that in the store, throw it on on our social media.
Yes.
So you have to go grab that.
We will.
Yeah, that's what we love. Oh, and as well, like you said, we love putting people on for our platform. We created this for everybody. If the world can see, I got this dope hoodie on right now. I should just, you know what I mean,
do this for the whole time.
Right. World is yours and ours.
Mm-hmm. And we'll put that social media up too,
that's the
so you
homie
guys can purchase
Quay.
Your own.
He's another brother from uptown, you know what I mean, doing this thing. That'd be a good connect with y'all.
And so we're always looking to work with people who are community-minded, right, because that's what we're doing as well. Speaking of merchandise really quick, we don't have it on today, but we did just release some new sweatshirts and t-shirts that we're going to have tomorrow. So
do they come in crop tops?
If not, you can crop it.
We got a crop top station.
So. Right.
When you get it, you can move right over to Station B.
Well, actually, we could get it embroidered and everything.
Man, we're looking for everybody. Right?
Well,
I had just put this down because earlier we did talk about friendship, and we have our own type of friendship that we lament on all the time. What's the greatest thing that you guys have got, you know, from this friendship that you've, I can't say stumbled upon, but created?
Yep, I went first last one.
That. Like, I love St. Louis. I'm so grateful to have him in my life. And it's just like another person who I get to be authentic with, you know, and I think in a world full of formalities and like we were talking about earlier, a disconnected world, like to have a relationship with someone like St. is, I'm truly grateful.
For me, I always wanted a brother I could relate to. I have brothers, but we're so far and distant in part from like lifestyles and age and just different outlooks. So even though we're different, we're still the same. And, you know, we help each other without looking for anything in return. And it's just all love. It's authentic. I love it.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we recognize as well, that I think actually people are more similar than they are different, right? Once you actually get past those outside barriers and you relate to someone on a human level.
Right.
You know, like we say, we all bleed the same, we all feel the same, so.
Yeah, Nussie and I have all the reasons to not be friends,
right.
You know, to just have walked past each other, as I'm sure you guys know. And I know a lot of people listening have friends like, man, I don't know why we together,
right.
where I saw you at, I don't even fool with your type people.
Right.
That can just be tall people, I don't even fool with tall people.
Trigger, shout out to my friend Katrina. I was a trigger.
Yo, no, seriously, we joked about it when we were doing one-on-ones. Nussie is like, we need to do the height perspective.
Think about it, right? Like, I see chins. You guys see the top of my head. It's a whole different... I don't know if there's dust up there.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
The altitude, my ears pop. I get dizzy when I stand up. No, I'm serious.
These
going to
be real things to talk about. Like,
but think about it. You spit in places I can't
no,
see.
No, that's true. When we're walking through crowds, I'm like, I'm just... And he's like, where are you? And I'm like, this is
I'm talking about like sitting in the cabin.
I almost lost her at Disney World a couple weeks ago, like a kid.
That would have been scary.
She has little, I can't say that, that's fine. She's got little people speed.
She's a running back. Let's use running back. No,
so
running back to, but you know,
one
you
of,
got some more, yeah,
just a little
small.
Disclaimer. You know, one of the things that we want to do is create safe spaces for everyone to say however they feel, including ourselves.
We're just new at this.
And I'm saying this because there are definitely things we've probably said that people may have been triggered by. And, you know, we actually...
Say how you feel. Say how you feel.
No, we had this discussion. I'm like, are we okay with it? And I'm like, we could be mindful, or I'm very willing to learn and obviously take on other perspectives. But I do think that when people start limiting conversations or limiting the words that come out of your mouth, that's exactly what we're not looking to create at I Am Perspective. So sometimes, even with words and terminology, there are a lot of new words and terminology that's out right now that's very foreign to people and is still a learning process. So When we hold those standards and we stop people from being able to speak, like, and I'm just going to say it. I say you guys a lot. I'm not referring to guys.
It's not like a Brooklyn Italian.
Right.
Like,
I'm not even referring to
guys.
I
say you guys.
It could be a dog. It could be whatever.
Right.
But I'm trying to, like,
be more inclusive.
Be mindful
of
it.
So you guys is offensive to certain people?
It's the patriarchy.
Yeah.
Right. So for some people, when they mention it, I'm like, oh, and I never thought of it that way, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. I still have to catch up on my own crap.
We've been doing this work for a long time, but like, we're not professionals at this. We didn't go to school. We're learning communities. Mm-hmm. We're learning people. I think we both have an understanding of empathy as to why we even created this. So we're like some.
And let me just be clear. That's all you really need. Like, I don't. There, as someone who studied sociology, and that's pretty as close to going to school for this as you're
right.
Really
like, what
get,
is going to school for?
They
this?
Don't teach you
right.
Like bedside political correctness, bedside
mm-hmm. Right, right.
So like, yeah.
Right. And that's part of it, right? We don't want to be politically correct.
Right. And I think I think this is an awesome space to speak in First Draft and to learn from one another. So, like,
mm-hmm.
if something triggering or offensive is said, like, send a constructive message. Like, hey, this was said, and, like, this is why I feel like it's inappropriate. Like,
mm-hmm.
the other day at work, someone's like, we can't say crazy anymore. Like, that. And,
right.
and coming from a generation of, like,
That's crazy.
Right.
Right.
But apparently now it's crazy is stigmatizing towards mental health.
Right.
So it's just being open to, like, learn together and allowing folks the opportunity
right.
to speak
yeah.
in First Draft.
That's a good one, yeah.
Star for you, buddy.
These spaces are gonna. I know we gotta wrap. These spaces have to be had. Have to be had. I went to English.
Yeah.
These spaces have to be had.
Should be.
Thank you so much. Cool. This is why we have exquisite guests. These spaces should be had. They need to be. They need to be had more often. We're going to be doing this every Tuesday. We thank you so much for being on our fourth show.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to do show number 400. We're going to look back at, like, who were the first folks in here. And thank you for being vulnerable and sharing with the world. Because I guarantee somebody heard this story today and was like, wow, that I wouldn't have expected something like that, you know. And that's how we operate. If we can get one of the listeners, one of the viewers to say, man, this is a different way to think about it. This is a different way to see things. Then, bang, Iron Perspective is one. So thank you. Thank you again.
Yes, thank you.
Thank
guys.
You, WEMS Radio, for having us as always.
Mm-hmm.
Every
you
Tuesday,
awesome.
6 p.m. to 7 p.m., Iron Perspective Radio.
Yes.
Up next,
we have Speak Into Existence with May I Speak. So until next week.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Peace.